Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This Wretched program is not talking about you. This is Wretched Radio. Subject: Self-Injury, When Pain Feels Good. A book by Ed Welch. It's a booklet, and it is not intended to be prescribing or describing your situation. We are going to make our way through this booklet to understand something that affects a lot of people, and it's imperative that if you happen to be one of the people who self-injures, anything that we are about to discuss is not intended to be a shot directly at you or to somehow be talking about your situation. This is so that we can understand better what it is that you are experiencing so that we can better help you. You may hear something that applies to your situation, but be careful as to how you apply it, because it's very easy. I understand how it works to hear somebody talking about something and think, oh, that's exactly my... I'm not doing that. We're talking in broad, general terms about a subject that many young people, especially older people do it too, but mostly it is the younger generation that is cutting themselves or hurting themselves. There's different ways to injure oneself. And we want to understand that, because we don't want you going through that. We want you to... God wants you to have joy. God doesn't want you to have stable. God wants you to have joy. Now, life is not a perpetual whoop-de-doo, but God wants you to have joy because He is a joyful God. The number of people who self-harm numbers in the millions. Famous people: Fiona Apple, garbage lead singer Shirley Manson, Angelina Jolie, Christina Ricci. Is it Ricci? Ricci?
Ricci?
Ricci? R-I-C-C-I?
Ricci.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said. Celebrities, they've said that they've cut themselves. So what do we learn immediately? That being famous doesn't cure what is underneath the desire to inflict harm to oneself. And it's been around for a long time. The Bible talks about ancient idol worshippers who, quote, slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. That would be your 1 Kings 18:28, Rexella. They believed that that act would appease their God. Isn't that interesting? Inflicting pain specifically for the shedding of blood to appease their God. And I would suggest to you to make their consciences calm down. It even appeared in Christianity during the Middle Ages. Self-flagellation. We still see that, I believe, in the Philippines, if I'm not mistaken, for Easter. And this group of people, they go out with those whips and they smack their own backs. Self-flagellation. It's the flagellum is the name of the instrument. To rip their skin open and shed blood is a form of penance. Now, immediately we see a theme in both the Old Testament idol worshippers and the Middle Ages and even contemporary. Well, it's mostly Roman Catholic now that does that. We see that it's a desire to somehow deal with my situation with God, to somehow atone for my sins that are tormenting me. So the self-harmer, perhaps, this is just one perhaps, because there's many reasons for self-injury. It might be because they are simply feeling guilty, or they are feeling other emotions, which we'll get into. Now, self-injury can manifest itself in a lot of different ways. Nail biters who don't stop until their fingers bleed. Pickers pick and scratch until they damage their skin or inflame an old wound. Cutters always have a razor handy to score or mark or slash their body, which they then try to hide. Others punch themselves black and blue. Others burn themselves with cigarettes. Some break bones. Anorexia, purposeful starvation. It's another form of self-injury. Men and women, both. There's a difference between suicidal and cutting. Suicidal and self-harm that needs to be kept in mind. Just because somebody is self-harming, it doesn't necessarily mean they're suicidal, because there is a difference. Those who purposely cut an artery are trying to kill themselves. They want to end it. Cutters are more careful. They know how to do it without bleeding to death. They just want to feel better. They want to live. They just don't know how to live and deal with their feelings. Feelings are tricky business. Whether you're happy or sad or any place in between, feelings are tricky business. I would challenge you again, describe right now in detail exactly how you're feeling to somebody. Try to define even how you feel at the moment, and it's difficult. These people are very perplexed about what to do with their emotions, and regularly they're on the blue side. They're on the sad side. So what should we do? How do we learn enough about this? So we need to make sure that somebody who is cutting or self-harming isn't suicidal. We need to make sure, because if somebody is suicidal, we need to protect them from themselves. Self-abuse should also be distinguished from an autistic person's headbanging and other self-harming behaviors, as well as schizophrenia, hallucinatory voices. That's a different issue, and we need to make sure that we understand that it's different. And there's a logic to the self-injurer's behavior, and you got to listen if they're willing to talk. The other person is more like you than you think. Beneath behavior that seems very foreign to you, same motivations. Who doesn't deal with fear, desire for control, hopelessness, sadness, anger? Anybody not deal with that? Show of hands, I don't see any. Do I see any hands going? I don't see any. This would be a bad altar call. Who doesn't have fear? I don't want to be in this swirling. I can't. Everything is out of my control. We want to be in control of stuff. We're built to have hope. Sadness. We want to be in control of it. You don't want it to be your perpetual state. It's appropriate. There is a time for mourning, but that shouldn't be all the time. And so the person that you're trying to help with self-harm, with cutting, whatever the behavior happens to be, they're just like you. It's just deeper. It's just more profound. Or it's possible that they just don't have the ability to cope with it yet. Let's talk about the self-abuse cycle. It tends to be activated by stress, difficult circumstances, our response to it, an emotional experience. It could be post-traumatic stress disorder. It could have been abuse as a child. It could have been a shameful act. Common stressors are anger and frustration, anxiety, just really agitated. And the person who has no alternatives, self-injury gradually becomes the preferred response to these things. Because it works. Like it? Now, you're not a self-injurer, so that doesn't make sense to you. But here's the reality. It does work. It does temporarily help somebody. You need to understand that. You don't have to get it, but you do need to be on the same page that, you know what, we understand that that works for you, but there's a better way. That's our message. There's a better way. And right now, it probably seems very difficult for you to imagine that there could be a better way to deal with this, but there is. It's a biblical way. It's not an easy way, but it's a biblical way. And together, we can get you to the place where something else works when you're agitated, fearful, out of control, hopeless, stressed, filled with anxiety. There is a way. Cutting provides an immediate sense of regained control and emotional relief, a satisfying way to give voice to the silent screams within. In other words, it brings peace. It's not lasting, but it's a crumb of calm or peace that's better than nothing. But as soon as that peace fades, guess what? The same circumstances, emotions, feelings just wait to disrupt their inner world again, and the cycle continues over and over and over. Now, what are the reasons for it? We've already heard a bit of a hint thanks to the Old Testament pagans and the Filipino self-flagellators. But there's more reasons. We want to understand those reasons because short of a biological, chemical, or physiological issue, which will be the exception, there is a biblical cure that can move somebody out of the darkness of self-abuse into the realm of joy. Next on Wretched Radio. From Eastern Europe, Cindy Marty of the Tomorrow Clubs.
I'm thinking about a village that we visited called Pirasmani. It took us about 4 hours to get there, and the road was so bumpy that we were a couple of basket cases by the time we got there. But you know what? There were 35 kids waiting there for us. They have no church in this village. Talk about an unreached place, and we're now operating a Tomorrow Club in that place.
Do you know how many ministries are trying to reach people in lost villages all throughout Eastern Europe? The answer is not many, but Tomorrow Clubs do. And for just $30 per month, you could be discipling 30 little Eastern European kids who have never heard the gospel. It's a magnificent ministry. How many clubs could you sponsor? Please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Thank you for joining us today. Glad you could spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. As we start the, well, normal holiday hustle and bustle, might I say thank you? We are so grateful for all of you who encourage, pray, and offer your financial support to Wretched. Because without you, quite frankly, we wouldn't be here. So if you would, prayerfully, please consider becoming one of our gospel partners, the folks who faithfully give to Wretched each and every month, so that we can be on the radio, television, and all over the internet. Wretched.org/donate and join us. We have some big plans in the works for 2019, but we could use your support right now. And please know we won't be spending your money on palatial estates or jet planes, because 83% of every dollar you give to us, we use for ministry work. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
For Christmas, many people in the West would just like their two front teeth. Overseas, a lot of people would like something else.
You can be the answer to the prayer of people in many parts of Africa right now, again, that are not praying for an end to their problems, not praying for material goods. What are they asking for? A Bible.
Not two front teeth. They want the enduring, everlasting Word of God. And you could answer that prayer. Well, only God answers prayer, but you could be the mechanism that God uses to answer that prayer through Bible League International for just $5 per Bible. That's the translating. That's the printing. That's the shipping. That's the distributing. That's the discipling that goes with it. $5. Would you like to answer somebody's Christmas prayer? Please visit wretched.org/Bible. Send as many Bibles as you can. Wretched.org/Bible.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sufficiency. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about God. Salvation, doctrine, and life. We do not need any additional revelation to know who God is and what He requires of us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Despite what you might think, we are not talking about you, our dear self-injurious friend. This is Wretched Radio, a general broad presentation on self-injury when pain feels good, courtesy of Dr. Edward T. Welch. It's a brief booklet that is by no means exhaustive. Biblical counseling goes far deeper into this subject, but I thought that Ed helps us a lot to understand what's going on in the world of the person who cuts, and there are millions of people who are doing this, many different forms of self-injury. There is a biblical solution. Now, I know from experience, some people are going to say, you just don't understand, you're saying. Well, I don't totally. But it's not because I'm talking about your situation. I think that's what it makes, why it might sound to you like, well, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, because you're thinking about your own specifics. I'm not. And that's important for us to establish, because I don't want you to think that somehow I'm trying to put a finger into your situation and poke. Not trying to do that. Trying to understand the subject better so that we can respond better to help you better. And you might hear something inside of this that maybe will be helpful for you, because there is a solution. What is the cause for self-harm? Well, here's one. You're angry at yourself. You feel as if you've done something that deserves punishment. Maybe more specifically, you feel like your body has betrayed you. Perhaps you were sexually assaulted, and you've started to believe my body is bad because of what's happened to me. And that continues. You can't figure out a way yet how to resolve that and work through that difficult situation. And so it seems that self-cutting is the answer. But that's only one reason. There's dozens of reasons. And self-injury can be saying more than one thing. It's not necessarily, that's the one thing. So here's some more. I feel guilty. I must be punished. And here's the reality. You are guilty, and you do deserve punishment. That is the reality. But this is more of a sense of, I've got to punish myself for what I've done. It was so bad. And that is when you need to be directed toward the cross. You're right, it's so bad. And Jesus, whatever it is that is causing your haunts and your blue feelings, Jesus can take that. He did take that for you. And you can cast it upon him, because it's been credited to him already. And you can actually move past the desire to harm yourself to atone for your own sins and to make yourself feel not guilty, because Jesus took care of it for you. Somehow self-injurers understand that shed blood is a necessary penalty for guilt. Well, the blood has already been shed. That's the gospel. Now, I know, again, there's going to be somebody listening who thinks it's a little bit more complex than just thinking about the gospel. I've thought about the gospel, and I still want to hurt. I understand. I'm not trying to just be shallow and insensitive. I get that. But again, remember, we're learning about the issue, and then we're learning about the tools available to us. Another reason that people cut or self-harm, they feel like, I'm not perfect. You didn't eat perfectly. You don't look perfect. You don't act perfect. You're right. You don't. But the question is, what are you going to do with that? What does the Bible prescribe? What do you do with the sense that I don't look perfect and I think I should? Well, there's a lot of things that need to be worked through with biblical counseling, starting with, how important is it that you look a certain way? How important is physical looks to God? And the biblical answer is not really. No, you just don't. There's a few people in the Bible that are described as good looking, but it's typically for a bad reason, that they're good looking and look at the defect here. So from the outside, looking good, Saul. Inside, got a problem. So looks just aren't that big of a deal to God. They are to our culture, but they're not to God. So the question then becomes, whose thinking am I going to follow? Which pattern am I going to adopt? The world's standard or God's understanding of beauty? He's looking for inner beauty. He's looking for far more profound things. That's a good place to start. Your body isn't perfect. No, you're right. But guess what? It's going to be one day. It's going to be a glorified body. That's something to look forward to. You're not happy with your body now. You're going to be happy for eternity. You're going to love your body for eternity because it's going to be a spiritual body built to last. You're not going to have aches and pains. And you're not going to feel like, oh, I just wish that I were taller, shorter, lighter, heavier, more muscular, prettier, better hair. You're not going to have those feelings in eternity. You maybe feel like you deserve your self-injury, that your behavior is giving approval to what you do. I deserve to hurt. They hurt themselves before somebody else can. It could be because of anger. It's a more aggressive way of saying, I'm feeling guilty and I deserve to be punished. But it includes anger toward another person. Instead of hurting this person or taking the anger out on another object like the family dog, the self-injurer hits him or herself. I hate you is the refrain. But that refrain, that focus of rage switches from self to others and back and forth again it goes. Another reason. I can't feel this way any longer. Hurting myself is the only way to stop my feelings. When emotions seem overwhelming, this feels like the right response. It relieves the pain. It gets your attention right now. Right now. You're thinking about the past. You're thinking about what happened. You're thinking about how you got there. Cutting says, here you are, feeling it, and leaves you feeling like you've regained control. That's just how it feels. Question is that right, and is there a better way? Another reason, I feel out of control. Others are in control, and I'm out of control. And this way I gain control because no one can stop me from doing this. I'm responsible for this all by myself. Another reason, words can't express pain. Self-injury is a soul-seeking expression of pain. It may not be articulate or precise, but it does capture what the individual is feeling on the inside. Is there help? Well, yeah, there is help for all of this. You want to keep it a secret, but the first step in this is to coming out with somebody you can trust to work through it. Self-injury can be used to justify self-pity and excessive self-concern. You got a lot of self behind this. Look, we all do. That is why if you're not a cutter, you're the same as the cutter, because underneath the self-injury that so many people practice is a lot of focus on self, selfish desires. James 4, 1 through 3. You want something, it becomes a need. You don't get it, it's thwarted, so you murder. And in this instance, you're hurting yourself. So pride and self-interest, very inward focused, is I would say almost always, not a perhaps always, but almost always connected to self-injury. So identifying the purposes of self-injury is a very useful step. What is self-abuse really saying? This is from Ed Welch. Even though the knowledge of God might be nudged to the margins of our lives, everything we do is related to Him. Everything we do is related to God. Somehow, God is involved in the equation, even if you're not thinking about Him when you self-harm. Self-injury is not the exception. At its root, self-injury is about God. Now, here's the decision that I think the self-injurer needs to make. Am I going to involve God in this situation or not? Because you're doing when we self-injure, it's being done so that you don't have to think in a godly way. That system doesn't work. God doesn't have any part of this. There is no help. There is no solution. The Bible screams, there is hope, there is help, there is a solution. So the question for the self-injurer is, now, which road am I going to take here? Am I going to push God out, or am I going to let God in? Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to continue making our way through self-injury when pain feels good. We're going to take all of those reasons why some people cut and then connect them to God. So whatever the reason is that these folks or you are doing what you do, we're then going to take it and we're going to draw a line to God and see what solution he offers so that in the future when you're feeling those feelings, there's a biblical, godly alternative that actually works. Next on Wretched Radio.
Books of the Bible. Jude was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote an epistle to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. He contends for the faith with a passionate and vehement attack against false teachers. When you want to know God's concern for the truth, Jude has 25 intense verses just for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Whatever the cause, God has the solution. This is Wretched Radio. Ed Welch, self-injury when pain feels good. Many reasons people self-injure in many different ways. I feel really guilty. I should be punished. I'm not perfect. I deserve this. I'm angry. I can't hurt this way any longer. I've got to stop these feelings. I'm out of control. Words can't express my pain. All reasons why people feel like they are getting things under control through self-injury. Now, the question is there a better biblical alternative than self-injury? And the answer is a resounding absolutely. It's not a quick fix. It's going to be a process for you, just like it is for all of us with all of our emotions and feelings. Don't ever be deceived. Everybody's struggling. So easy these days when we're so absorbed in our little world where we see people's pictures. Do you ever see somebody post a lousy selfie? Everybody's having a good time. Look at, hey, I'm out in this crowd. Look at me. And is my hair perfect? And then they fix their hair and they take another one. No, my chin was not up high enough, so let's take another one so that it all looks perfect. And perhaps you've been thinking everybody else's life is and yours isn't. And so you now, in a bit of inward focusedness, are feeling really, really blue, feeling really, really bad. Here's the good news. The Bible says all of those thoughts are connected to God. And it makes sense, doesn't it? You're made in God's image. So everything that you're experiencing, somehow there's a connection to God. So now we ask ourselves the question, if all of my feelings, my emotions, my responses somehow say something about my relationship to my Heavenly Father, what is it saying? And then how does it resolve itself? Because it's not enough to simply say, well, this is what you're saying about God when you're angry. You're saying you're angry at God. Okay, so what does that do? It doesn't. It helps you understand why, but then we need to get to the solution, and we can and we do, from Ed Welch, Self-Injury, When Pain Feels Good. When you feel guilty, that's pointing to God, because you are guilty. All of these emotions, if you're angry, you're hating people, you will find anger in your relationship with God. If you think life is an oppressive standard, measuring up all the time, you'll find a deeper sense you don't measure up before God and His standard. Now, these are misconceptions about God. our wonky emotions, our misconceptions about God. This goes back to the garden, something called the noetic effect of the fall. We're all suffering underneath this curse, all of us, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, all of it. We're all struggling. We're not the way that we're meant to be, that we're made to be. We're made to be thinking like God. We're not going to be divine. We're not going to have all of his attributes. We have many of them. We have his communicable attributes, and they're broken. So what is the Christian life? Getting them fixed. That's really the process of sanctification, is getting all of those things fixed so that you think like God. And so all of your emotions have a direct line to him. And we've got to then, going backwards then, rather than going, okay, this is how I'm feeling, this is how I'm feeling, this is how I'm feeling. Wait a second. Let's do this. Your anger is an expression of anger at God. Now let's work backwards. Let's fix your misconception about God. Maybe you think God is picky. He's never pleased. He's just 2:11, simmering, just waiting for you to blow, and he's all over you. That's a misconception about God. Since God's going to punish me anyway, I might as well do it to myself first. No, he's not going to punish you for your sins. He punished Jesus for your sins. When God lets us have those feelings, that it's fine to feel, because it can point us back to him. It can send us in the right direction where we discover whatever the issue is, he's got a solution. So what's the solution for guilt? The cross. I'm feeling guilty, all right? Therefore, you're feeling like God has not forgiven you, or you're not forgivable. And the cross just screams to you, yes, your sins have been forgiven, and you are forgiven because God, in his grace, is more expansive than your bad thinking, your bad actions, your bad past. There's a connection to God in everything. I'm angry points to God. Should you be angry at God? Should you be angry at other people? The answer is no, you shouldn't. So how do you get helped with that? Well, there's many ways to do it. There's many ways to get help. But let me just suggest one to you that sort of is connected. First of all, forgiveness would be a good thing to consider. I have been forgiven much, therefore I can be forgiven much. I hear the nails of Jesus rattling in my pockets. There's nothing that anybody has done to me that I haven't done to the Savior a billion times, and your thinking is reoriented. Maybe somebody has done something exceedingly wicked to you. Judgment is coming. Judgment is on the way. God's going to deal with them. Vengeance is the Lord's, and he is going to execute it far better than you and I ever could. Well, we think that we've got to get a pound of flesh. Oh, God's going to get more than a pound of flesh. He is going to give that person precisely. If they've done something wicked to you, they're going to get it. Or Jesus will have gotten it for them. One way or the other, it's going to be taken care of. Those thoughts need to be constantly applied to our emotions. Even the simple, this is Ed Welch, even the simple and desperate cry, I can't feel this way any longer, hurting myself is the only way to stop the feelings, is actually about God. When we cry, but we don't cry to the one who hears us, we're saying that God doesn't hear, care, or love. Now, I'm going to say this thoughtfully, I hope, and sensitively, because I love the idea. I think it's terrific. I think it's a great aid. I think this is a wonderful way to use animals. I go to the gym, and there's a guy who always brings these service dogs. Now, these aren't for people with eyesight issues. These are people who need a dog to stay calm out in the world. And I think it's terrific. I do. I think it's absolutely terrific. And drives me bonkers because they actually want you to pet those dogs. So I walk into the gym. The dog is laying on the ground. I get down on the ground with them, and I'm that guy at the gym. I think it's a terrific idea. But, doesn't that point us towards something? I'm feeling very agitated on the inside. I need something external to make me feel better. And it's a dog. And I think the dog can be used. But ultimately, it should point us toward the one who really can calm us and comfort us. The tactile thing, the sensory thing, I get it with the dog. But ultimately, we should be moving past the pet and toward our Savior, who is the God of all comfort. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's our port in the storm. We want him, the pet points toward, you know, I'm looking for something to calm me down because I don't feel in control myself. So use the dogs, but then move even higher toward God. When we cry, but not to the one who hears us, we're saying that God doesn't hear, care, or love. He does. So children who are hurt, run to a parent who will listen and show compassion. You share your pain with somebody who cares about you. That's your God. How much more should we cry out to him? And how's about remembering that even when it's so painful that he, the Holy Spirit, prays for you, Romans 8, with groanings. It just deep, profound groanings. When his people experience trouble, the Lord said, they do not cry out to me from their hearts, but wail upon their beds. They don't turn to the Most High, and they're like a faulty bow. So God wants us to go to him. Use the dog, but go to him. For the Lord will not reject his people. If you feel that you're not good enough to go to God, then congratulations, you've met the standard for coming. In fact, people who a lot of times are depressed, it's like, well, a lot of reasons behind it, but you're closer to where God wants us thinking in our state of, oh, I'm just not a good person. Exactly. Now you're ready for the gospel. If you reject an invitation to a wonderful party by saying you aren't worthy, very likely you just did not want to go. Is that why you do not go to God? Answer me when I call you. God, give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. That is where we are supposed to go when we're completely confused. Now, I know it could be really hard for you to do that right now, but you can get there. God wants you to come to him. Don't waste your depression. This is Wretched Radio. Would you like to see every tribe, every tongue, every nation come to the Lord Jesus Christ and sit in a church under the faithful preaching of a pastor who exposits the word rightly? Of course you would, and so would Dr. John MacArthur.
It comes down to pastors, like shepherds, like people, like priests, like people, as Hosea says. People aren't going to rise higher than their pastor. They're not going to go beyond what they've been taught and what's been modeled of sound doctrine and godly living. So this is the answer to everything. It's all about leadership all over the world. This is, in my mind, the great untold missionary story around the globe. It's multiplication at the highest level, training pastors. They are the multipliers of the church around the world.
Would you like to see people get saved and soundly taught? Please consider supporting the Masters Academy International, an outstanding ministry of John MacArthur, wretched.org/pastor.
Wretched is so frugal. We're thinking about changing our name to Jack Benny. Yeah, but not by much. It's true, we are frugal. 83% of every dollar entrusted to us goes directly toward ministry work. We keep our overhead very low because we know the money you entrust to us is a gift from you and the Lord, and we take that very seriously. Our threefold mission is to preach the gospel, equip the saints to preach and defend the gospel, and strengthen the local church. Wretched Radio and Wretched TV reach millions of people every year. And believe me, we have some very big plans to reach even more next year. For that, we need your help. If you are able, would you please prayerfully consider joining us in this effort, knowing that we will honor your gifts? For details on becoming a monthly gospel partner, go to wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate.
And now a statistic from Dan Steiner from preborn.org/wretched.
Last year, we counseled over 29,000 women and over 7,900 babies were saved last year.
I love that statistic. I suspect you do too. Would you like to see those numbers go up? All it takes is a whole lot of effort from Preborn and our support. $28 will purchase an ultrasound for a woman who believes she's having a crisis. She sees the ultrasound and she recognizes she's actually having a baby and she keeps her child. How many ultrasounds could you support? Maybe every single month. Please note 100% of your gifts to Preborn go directly to the centers, directly to ultrasounds. It's an amazing statistic. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Theophilus of Antioch lived a pagan lifestyle until he was converted by reading the scriptures. His most notable work, Apology, was written to an unbelieving friend to show that the scriptures were self-authenticating and argued that the antiquity, clarity, and consistency of the scriptures prove their divine origin. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Want to get to some action steps for self-harmers, but first, this is Wretched Radio. Just heard from my buddy Dan Steiner at Preborn. Thought you might want to rejoice at this thought. Shared a statistic, you just can't keep this to yourself. 4,000 people have been saved by hearing the gospel at a life center, a Preborn center, where women go. They're feeling in crisis. They're looking for help. They want to get an ultrasound. Perhaps they can't afford one. They hear the gospel. 4,000 women have been saved. How cool is that? Not to mention the thousands of babies who are alive today because of ministries like Preborn and your support of ministries like Preborn. You can support them at preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds, they take care of people, they help people, they train people, and they give people the gospel. preborn.org/wretched. preborn.org/wretched. Before we get to those action steps, I've also got to do a shout out about this. I am really, 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 really excited about this. I'm holding in my hand. Can you hear it? Hey there. Holding in my hand a booklet. It is a gospel booklet. You might be receiving one from us in the mail. Nevertheless, we're sending out thousands of these. Nevertheless, I think about 14,000 of these are going out actually today. So you'll be seeing What Time is Purple and other intriguing questions on the road trip to truth. Starting on Good Friday. No, Black Friday. There's a difference. There's a really big difference. Good Friday is black, but it's not the same thing as the sale, which really isn't just contained to it starts on Wednesday. So it's not a Black Friday sale.
Last Wednesday.
Costco, if you start on last Wednesday?
Doesn't Black Friday start in like June. August now? Yeah, June. Yeah.
That's all ridiculous.
Black Friday follows 4th of July.
Starting on Black Friday, we'll give you up to 20 copies of this booklet. Up to 20 copies. You can get 1, 5, 10, 15, or 20. As long as you promise to give them away and you pay for the shipping, we'll give you the booklet. It's an outstanding and thorough. I'm just looking through it right now, and it's like, oh, this thing is really, really good, especially for the individual who is run off to university or they've been indoctrinated in high school with evolutionary theory. Just great stuff for them. So here's a quote. Many people ask who created God. The answer is no one. If God exists, he's existed eternally, and this by necessity. Aristotle figured out centuries ago that reality needs a first uncaused cause that causes everything else. Otherwise, there would only be nothing. He named his eternal uncaused cause the unmoved mover. Even he recognized there's got to be something eternal. But he just fell a little bit short. This booklet points them to the one who is eternal. And it's really, really good. And we're going to give you up to 20 copies starting on Black Friday. At which time you can get Herman Hu as long as you're at the website. Let me share with you some action steps for people who are self-injurers. It's hey, done, you, get, you know.
And if you get Herman Hu,
yeah,
don't you get a copy of It's Not Greek to Me?
You've actually been reading the memos. Wow. Tony, I'm very impressed.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's correct.
I'm just glad I remembered it.
I'm just glad I remember to check inventory. Because in my brain, I thought, I think we've got, well, like 700 of those sitting in the warehouse. That should be enough for, you know, buy Herman Hu and get It's Not Greek to Me for free. Wrong! Caught that little gaffe a couple of weeks ago. So we've got plenty of Herman, plenty of Greek coming in. Outstanding. How to rightly divide the word of truth. It will help you to interpret the Bible better. Action steps for people who are self-harmers. Number one, do you want to change? Ask that question regularly. It's going to remind you that this is the course. This is the new trajectory. And it takes time to realize that the Jesus path is better than the path of self-injury. It takes time. Don't get discouraged. Do you want to change? Number two, allow other people in. Self-injury likes privacy. God, he's into light and openness. So if you don't speak openly and honestly to someone you trust and who can help, probably means you're not willing to change. Three, grow in honesty. No more lies. They come in all kinds of forms. Think how you've tried to hide your behavior through lies. Confess those sins to God and consider confessing to the person you misled. When lies pile up, it is a burden, and you feel more shame, you feel more isolated, you feel more hopeless. It's one of the devil's favorite strategies. Don't buy it. Number four, feed yourself with Scripture, Psalms, a gospel, Ephesians, good places to start. Remember, the Psalms are the place to go. If you don't think that the Psalms capture your emotions, Psalm 73, it's a psalm of Asaph. He's looking around, and he's seeing other people are getting ahead, and he's not. And he's, what's the point of this? Why have I kept myself pure? He asks. You hear the frustration, the hopelessness in that? So what does he do to find hope? He goes into the temple, and his perspective changes. He realizes the fate of the ungodly, what's going to happen to them when they die. And then it was well with his soul. Same thing for you. You go into his word, and increasingly you will see the fate of the ungodly, and it'll be well with your soul. That's just one psalm that can guide that emotion. There's many of them where David crying out, Saul is after him, his enemies are after him, everybody wants to kill the king. Feel familiar? And then he rightly expresses emotions for you. So run to the Psalms. Five, find good books that communicate clearly about God's grace. Lots of them out there. Biblical counseling. You don't want Christian counseling. You want biblical counseling. Six, since your self-injury follows a pattern in which you can anticipate the situations, times, and places where you're most vulnerable, what alternative plans can you make when those situations arise? You got to choose alternatives. Call a friend, reading at a public place so that you can get ahead of it rather than just going down and down and down. Number seven, write out the meaning and purpose of your self-injury, encourages Ed Welch. What are you saying by it? Think about what's going on. If you don't correctly diagnose it, well, then you can't apply the correct solution, can you? When you blow it, don't give in. Don't give up. We all blow it. Once again, can I get a show of hands of all the people who have not blown it today? Do I see anybody? Anybody willing to be foolish enough to put up their hand?
You mean haven't blown it yet today or like?
Within the last 10 seconds. It's look.
I could be good in 10 seconds. No, sorry, I'm out.
Once again, demonstrating humility, one of your absolute best attributes. Don't give up. This is a long race. and use those psalms to guide your emotion, to give voice to your heart. They're honest, not always pretty, but they consistently end with praise and thanks. Hold on. I want to grab Psalm 73, and you'll see it for yourself, because this one might not capture you perfectly, but there's other ones that will. Okay, so he's belly aching. Everybody's getting ahead. They prosper. They got all this stuff. I ain't got nothing. And they're wicked. They scoff and speak wickedly. So maybe he's feeling oppressed from these people. Not only are they getting ahead and he's not, but they're keeping him from getting ahead. They scoff. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walks through the earth. Now, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. I have been plagued and chastened every morning. This has all been a waste of time. That is despair. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. So what does he do? Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their need. I understood their problem. Surely you've set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? Good theology leads to doxology every single time. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. It is good for me to draw near to God, that I may put my trust in the Lord God and declare all your works. Let the Psalms help you with your emotions. Let somebody who is trusted and wise help you with your emotions, because God doesn't want you to hurt yourself. God wants you to have joy, and it is available. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.